Welcome to Fandom City Cinema, the cousin podcast of Press Rewind, where instead of discussing older films, we discuss more recent films, as well as various film-related topics. We tackle all genres and often discuss brand new releases. Today, we show some Black History, Black Heritage Month love for the critically acclaimed Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Before we get to it, let's introduce ourselves. I am the Fandom City Alderman, Leona X.
I'm the Fandom City Sheriff T.
I'm the Fandom City Mayor Shell.
I'm the Village Gabe.
Well, welcome. All right, so, anybody excited? I am.
Sure, I am.
So I want to just jump right into it and ask what made you watch it? Min?
I personally just love Viola Davis. As one should.
Why would you not?
Hater. Exactly. There's no reason.
That's a great reason. Shell?
The cast. I love Chadwick. I love Viola.
T?
Okay. I'm going to say something controversial. So I love Chadwick. I love Viola. I love Glenn Turman, who I didn't know was in it. Like, the whole cast is amazing. But I was hesitant to watch it. August Wilson's a little for me. I don't even have a word.
What was that?
I'm not word? Like, I don't know. Over my head. I don't like plays. That's what it is. It's not August Wilson. I don't like plays. I like musicals, not plays. So even though I really enjoyed Fences, I was like, this looks like it's staged kind of like a play, even though it's a movie. So I was concerned that I wouldn't, that I would be bored and it wouldn't hold my attention. And you watched it and said, you better watch it. And the mister was like, have you watched it yet? And then I kept putting it off and you yelled at me. I think we were on another podcast and he was like, all right, I'm sick of it. I'm done. And you yelled at me. I was like, fine, I'll watch it. And then I was like castigating myself because it was it's so good. Like there was no reason to even be concerned that it wouldn't hold my attention. It held my attention. And like, I didn't do anything. I didn't do my nails. I didn't play a game. I was captivated the whole time. So.
Well, that certainly says something. Excuse me. I would go with all those reasons except the opposite of the August Wilson thing, that I actually love plays, especially by Black playwrights. I'm not going to act like I'm an expert on August Wilson, but I'd like to be. So I think all those things made me want to see it ASAP as soon as it was even available for me to see it. So I'm glad everyone did. So did T, you want to give us the synopsis?
Sure. From IMDb, during a recording session, tensions rise between Ma Rainey, her ambitious horn player, and the white management determined to control the uncontrollable mother of the blues.
Sounds about right. And Shell, do you want to give the deets?
It was directed by George C. Wolfe. The screenplay was by Ruben Santiago Hudson, based on a screenplay by August Wilson, and the music was by Branford Marsalis. It was released in the theaters on November 25th, 2020, and on Netflix December 18th. And upon its digital release on Netflix, the film was the most watched item over its opening weekend. Actually, number
nice.
One.
Noise, which I didn't realize till today. And can I just say, I didn't realize, I didn't know the Branford part until I saw it, and I didn't know Ruben. When his name popped up at the end, I was like, well, hello. I mean, because, and I know we're going to jump into these things, but since T already touched on, like, not liking plays that much, and I'm the person who's like, I love plays a lot, and I wish I could see them recorded. While watching, I was like, wow, they really captured this as the way, so many things that go from play to movie, you feel like you could tell how much they changed it to make it work for a movie. Mm-hmm. This worked in such a way that I felt like I was watching a play but a movie. I don't know if their performances were very like big and, you know, very large, like how you would on a stage. And I like how Ruben even kind of his screenplay of it kind of made it work in that way, like you were watching a play for real, at least in my opinion. His screenplay, but also the directing, kind of gave us that. Nick, can I call you out to talk about the cast?
So it is starring Viola Davis as Ma Rainey, Chadwick Boseman as Levy Green, Glenn Turman as Toledo, Coleman Domingo as Cutler, Michael Potts as Slow Drag, Johnny Coyne as Mel Sturtevant, Taylor Page as Dessie May, Jeremy Shamos as Seamus? Wait a second. As Irvin, Dusan Brown as Sylvester, Joshua Hardo as Policeman.
This is actually like the standard cast for the play too. Normally I wouldn't have kept the policeman, but I'm like, since he always gets some love, and the casting of the
play. Important, I guess.
So I feel like I add this the section, give them their things, just because it's already been nominated for quite a bit, as it should, right? It's the worst season already, but it was named as one of the 10 best films of 2020 by AFI. It received 9 NAACP Image Award nominations, including Outstanding Motion Picture, 8 Critics' Choice Movie Award nominations, 3 SAG nominations, and of course, Viola and Chadwick both received nominations for their performances at the Golden Globes, and many more. I was happy to see more. I mean, obviously, I loved Viola and Chadwick, but I was happy that NAACP also showed some love for Glenn Turman and Coleman Domingo as well, which. I know him from Ali from Euphoria, and so I just was so happy to see
Coleman
him.
Coleman Domingo?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember his character's name, but I know him from Fear the Walking Dead.
Oh. Yeah. Why do you look?
Yeah.
You like his characters?
It was a horrible. It was a horrible show. Okay. It was a horrible show.
Okay. Well. So I really want to just kind of talk about how you felt about the film, the performances, the characters, what did you feel you, I guess, enjoyed most about those performances? What made it come alive for you?
So I went into it expecting to really enjoy Viola and Chadwick, because when do you not? You know what I'm saying? I don't even know when I've not enjoyed Viola doing something. And I haven't seen Coleman. I haven't seen Chadwick in a whole lot. Mm-hmm. But the things that I've seen him in, I really enjoy. But, I remember you saying, and the Mr. being no, they were there were no words for how good they were. And I remember being okay, come on. Really? I know they're going to be good, but, that good? And I was, sitting there, in tears. Well, how good they were. I believed every word they said. It was just these are real people. This is really happening to somebody. That made me want to see a play.
I just really am stunned that you don't like plays. I don't know why.
I hate plays.
Hate even. We'll move on from that. Show, you don't feel that way, do you?
I need something to happen.
I wrote plays.
Once I saw musicals, plays went out the...
Right. This is new information that I'm receiving here. Any favorite character?
Lovey. I don't think he's supposed to be a favorite.
I honestly think Toledo.
Chadwick's performance was so outstanding, and he just made me feel for the character and feel for the time and feel for Black people as they were migrating from the South to the big city. That, I mean, we picked this movie for Black history, but after watching it, I'm glad that we picked it, because I was going for a certain theme when I chose Black History movies, and this one hit that theme, and I just wanted to not just talk about Black movies, but how life affected Black people, how movies present how Black people were affected in America. And I believe that Chadwick really sold it. I mean, don't get me wrong, they all did. Glenn Turman's was fantastic. You know, they all made me see something as the young Chadwick being Levy being the younger guy versus the older guys. Mm-hmm. You know, it just, he sold it, and he made me see something that I saw growing up and that I see today, where, but definitely, you know, growing up, whereas younger people just responded different, younger Black people responded differently to older Black people, because and he really sold that. So even though his character was a jerk, you really saw hope, you saw conceit and audacity, but you saw hope in him, and I think that's why he was my favorite character.
I feel like I'm going to comment real quick, but before that, but what you touched on was very interesting to me, because I obviously I watched it again, and I was like, man, his thing with Toledo, he got a thing with Toledo, and it almost feels like it's almost like a disappointment that Toledo is not doing something he feels like he should be doing. He's looking at this older mm-hmm. guy like, well, why aren't you taking some of this stuff by the balls like you should mm-hmm. be? It's almost like he's resentful of him. Everything Toledo said, he has something to say to him.
Right.
And it was just interesting, because I feel like the other two were kind of like between them in age. And so they all were trying, those two were trying to respect each other the most, but it was like Toledo and Levy were just like clashing.
It kind of put me in the mind of when we were younger, the older, you know, the grandparents would tell you how to act a certain way when you were around certain people. Black, you know, you're Black, you have to present a certain way for other Black people, and especially for white people. And it really felt like Toledo was that person that's, let's accept what we got, there's no need to strive for more, we're doing pretty good as we are. And Levy was like, there's more out there to take, and not more out there to get, more out there to take, and let's go get it.
Right That was great.
Before you go to Mint, because I forget, I got spoiled on the end.
Oh.
When the mister was watching it, because he was shouting like, why'd you do that? And just as it's when it started, I knew exactly who it happened to, just by their relationship, how they were constantly, and like, it wasn't even like constantly like this, it was more like,
Right.
Levy had it in for Toledo.
Yeah.
Like, you could just tell it was not going to end well.
Everything he said, he was trying to clown us. Even Bebo, he didn't watch the whole thing with me, but he was watching a little bit today. And he was like, oh, all he said was, I can't remember what the moment was. He was like, dang, like,
relax.
He even looked confused, like, T'Challa, chill out. sorry, Mick, I hope you didn't lose your thought.
I did. It's fine.
Well, I said, you have a favorite character. That's what I said.
Oh. I was going to say Toledo.
Yeah, I like that.
Toledo was great.
I think just because the acting was so good.
It was. He, you know, we've seen Glenn Turman in so many different things, right? But he just gave, like, this kind of, you just want to hug him feel too. He seemed like,
yes!
Even though he was getting played to the left, like he was getting clowned a little bit, I still felt like I wanted knowledge from him too. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, finish yours on me. I'll go wait. I'll do it in a minute.
Well, so he just had that little moment where he was talking about like everybody being a stew and like all these different parts coming mm-hmm. together, and he's like, Black man doesn't realize that he is the leftover and what's he gonna do about it, because he don't even know he's the leftover, what is he gonna do? And I just like the thing, the little things that Toledo was sharing, that it's mm-hmm. not like he's not aware of whatever fact Levy thinks he's not aware of. He is aware, he also just knows what his circumstances and what his limits may be. And I feel like Levy just wasn't willing to see that. But
no, I was just thinking, you know, this, despite Levy always going at Toledo because he saw Toledo as somebody that was like settling in his circumstances. And like you said, Toledo was just he was wise. He was like, this is what we got, this is what we got. But I really felt like Cutler was the one that, it's my song, we gonna do it, we gonna do. Yes. Cutler was the yes man. I was like, why not?
Shuckin' and jiving.
Cutler, I mean.
He was kind of fascinating. Exactly. I agree. No one saw him as that. He was the yes man to everyone. Right. You boys, something, you boys. I forgot what Irvin said to him. He was like, yes, sir, Mr. Irvin. And like, I felt like he didn't even realize he was doing it. He was just so quick to like, yes, man, to everybody. And of course, to Ma, when she came around, it was like, Ma said this. That's what goes. Right.
And it's like, so like, it was like, Toledo was like, this is where we are, you know, this is, we all gotta work together to get here, and Levy wasn't getting that, and Levy was like, we gotta fight to get this, we gotta take this, you know, I'm here, let's get this, but Cutler was like, I'm good.
Yeah, he kind of was.
Cutler was like, come on guys, don't fight.
Don't do anything, don't fight, don't, just take your orders and do what you told, and let's get our check. And let it be. You know, let's not be philosophical about the state of being black. Let's not fight to take what is ours. Let's just sit here and let's take this little $25 that Ma gonna, you know, and let's live. You know, and it was just like, so he was kind of.
He didn't even have any fight in him until the end when he said they better not give him a check.
Yeah.
Like, that's it?
And it was inconvenient because he had to go find a place to cash the check. Other than that, he was good to go, but he couldn't even, like, when Levy wanted to do his version of the song, could you listen to it before? I mean, like, obviously we gonna do Ma's version, but let's see what it sounds like. You know,
right?
Levy ain't 100% wrong. Toledo ain't 100% wrong. You know, you a session musician. And, you know, you
right. And that is interesting. I couldn't tell how to feel about Cutler. I liked him, but he was playing it safe a lot. And then we'll talk about it a little bit more later. But still, even his story about the preacher, it was like, how are you not angry about the story you're telling right now? Like, he even looked like, why is Levy reacting to me? And we'll talk about it later. Like I said, I won't go into it too much. But you know what I'm saying. Actually, we'll go ahead and talk about it now. So he tells a story about the preacher and what these people did to him and making him, you know, dance. But because he's a preacher, he ain't supposed to be dancing with that cross on. He's telling this story that I thought he was about to have some fight and some anger in him. But he was surprised that Levy was like, what? Are you listening to the story he just told? Right? What did y'all think of that? Of Cutler telling this, but what was the point of him telling the story if he didn't think someone was going to react negatively to it? What did he think they were going to say?
He thought they were going to be neutral to it. He expected neutrality. He expected Toledo to be okay with his, like, because Toledo was upset that he was doing good and he got played by his wife. And Cutler is like, oh, man, it's not your fault. Bad things happen to us. Let's just sit down and walk down the tracks. And, you know, and he just, you know, and I was feeling Levy like, come on, dude. Let's be angry. Let's not be too angry. Let's be angry. Let's not be angry enough to harm one another. That was Levy's biggest flaw, is that he directed his anger at other black people.
Right. By the way, one thing I really wanted to say, and I don't know if it dawned on me the first time, it may have, but I know it stood out to me a lot today. It really did stand out to me, by the way, especially you talking about what you want, the theme of Black History Show, that this was set in the year our grandfather was born. I just thought that was like, it stood out to me, the whole 1927, and like, so now I'm trying to like picture like life for him, although I know he didn't live in a big city, it was more a rural area, but still like this was the time that he was born. It's just kind of interesting to try to put yourself back in that time, which I feel like I used to avoid when I was younger. Like, oh, I don't want to think about the 20s. It sounds like it was a bad time for us. You know what I mean? But watching a movie where it wasn't entirely a bad time for them. But was it not entirely a bad time because they played it safer? I don't know. So let's talk. Go ahead. Will you say something?
I don't know. I don't want to, like,
do it.
Stray. Like, are we going to have a conversation about the whole playing it safe? Is that...
Now there's
well, like, this is the idea of playing it safe. Levy bothered me only because I don't think he understood the value of playing it safe. And y'all know I'm not somebody who plays it safe, but I respect people's desire to do it. I respect people's understanding of where they are in the machine. And you go ahead and if I'll go ahead and like I'm a big proponent of I'll use my voice for all of us, which is what I felt like should have been Levy's thought process, but he was just too, you know, too selfish to think like that. But I had a problem with Cutler, because he was like Aaron Burr. He had nothing, you know what I'm saying? He had no side he believed in. He was just there. Whereas Toledo was like, I hear you, but we got this. We got more than we had when I was a little kid. So, like, I'm happy with it. I don't think he was mad at Levy for wanting more. I just feel like he was like,
I felt like they all were judging Levy. And even though Levy was clearly, I think he said he was 32. But he's still young, especially young compared to them. And he just saw things differently, and he shared, you saw this pent up anger in him, and he shared his story. Obviously they don't know each other. They know the three older guys, I guess, knew each other, but they didn't know Levy. They just saw Levy as somebody that's trying to step above them and willing to step on them to get above them. And I think that's how you see a lot of relationships between older people and younger people. I mean, Levy was pretty much I don't want to say an unlikable character, but there was something about him. But there was something that I guess I understood a little bit. He went about things the wrong way when he did go about things. He was definitely naive. When he thought he was worldly, he was naive.
Were you about to say a minute?
I just think Levy's an interesting character, because I think that he is like how people now think of millennials. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about the shoes. He won a game of craps and then spent all of his money on a pair of yellow shoes. Right. And I think that was the start of all of it, them trying to rip him about these yellow shoes. And I think that was the start of him just not being in a good emotional state that day. And I think that the issue is he was ultimately too selfish to think about other people. But thinking about it like that, he's a very interesting character, because I think lots of people view people, like in my age bracket, as like, oh, you just do this and that. You gotta find your small joys somewhere. So if it's a yellow pair of shoes,
right? And
go for it.
Honestly, I feel like to each of you, kind of made me think of something different about Levy. Had they all just maybe given him a shot? Like, to your point earlier, where Cutler was just like, I just played a song right. If you just let me play it one time, pretended you were supporting me a little bit, this could have actually helped him kind of maintain this temper. But no one is hearing me. I have talent that I want to share, and even the people I'm trying to be friends with aren't really trying to hear me. Maybe Slow Drag didn't seem, he was like, let's record and go. I don't know.
Slow Drag was like, I'm not even supposed to be here.
right. And just, he wanted Cutler to accept him. He really did. But Cutler wouldn't.
I mean, to the point that but they were knocking his dreams. The making fun of his shoes was bad. Well, who are you? So what? He didn't say it was his last $11. He just said he spent $11.
Right. Yeah.
So I have to wonder, would you guys feel this way if it wasn't Chadwick?
Yes. I definitely would.
I just have no sentiment toward him, to that character. I don't.
He wouldn't.
Like, I don't. And I think because he was so arrogant, I didn't feel like there was a reason for youth. His arrogance.
I thought his arrogance was
youth. Does that make sense?
In anger. Youth in anger.
But he wasn't young.
That's young compared to the others.
He's young compared to
them. That's young in the career that he's taken. That's young in whatever he's been through in life. He's still young. 32 is young.
The reason I can say I absolutely know it's not because of Chadwick is because I didn't feel it until this moment, as y'all are making me see him. You know what I mean? I was like, Levy, shut up. That's how I saw it until I really thought about it. Like, if you're never being heard anywhere, and sure, it's the white dudes who also kind of pretended, or at least third event, pretended to be interested in him and wasn't. If even my older black brothers aren't trying to hear me, it is going to kind of feed that anger. I don't blame them. Don't get me wrong. I don't think it's their responsibility to make him feel better. But I do think that it does add to what's going on. No one is really believing in this guy except Dussie May, who hardly is believing in him herself. She was like, I don't know what her deal was. Dussie May, who probably was my least favorite character besides Third Event. I want to real quick, because we've given the band a lot. I want to know your thoughts on Ma.
Ma was just an icon. I'm sorry, but first of all, the eyebrows. I want to shave my eyebrows off so I can have little Betty Boop eyebrows. She looked great. She's out here doing it for the gays.
She really was.
The gays and the theys.
She really was.
Sing about her black bottom.
Apologetic, honey. When they came out of that hotel and she was like embracing Sylvester and Dussie May, like, what? What? Like, I just loved how she even looked like, y'all wasn't looking at me, but look now. And I dare you to judge me. I agree.
Just amazing.
And I love that at first, for me anyway, I felt like, there's got to be more to, like, why she's just, like, barking at everyone, right? And I like that she slowly gave it. And then she definitely explained that I have what they want. They got to do what I want them to do in order to get this thing. And I like that she knew for a fact, I don't have control over a lot, but I got control over this. And y'all need me.
I love that she knew exactly what the game was. Because she said, they're going to take my voice and do whatever they want with it. So they're going to get it how I give it to them. They're going to take it when I give it to them. I love that she took ownership of all of that and was just aware of the scheming that was going on behind her back.
Right. Right.
There was some straight four horsemen bull crap going on.
But even down to the cop outside. Like, how she was just like, you better get it right. Tell this story correct. You better tell the truth. And y'all, you know, I got Sophia vibes. I was like, oh no, Miss C.
Oh, yeah,
no,
definitely.
Miss Sophia, no.
I was like, please. This begins
the movie. Don't do it. What's about to happen? But even Irvin was like, I got this. That's how we knew for a fact. Yeah, she had control of that situation. He had to go pay this dude off. He knew, I got to protect this situation. I got to get her Coca-Cola. I got to get her wherever she says she needs, because we do need her. And I feel like even people today don't even have that kind of control.
Can we talk about the Coca-Cola? How did she drink it like that? That's all I want to ask.
I would have burped for
days. How did you do that?
And was able to sing?
That was acting.
What? I would have been like, that was
living. Exactly.
That black guy. All burps.
Oh, no.
All the air you get, like, that's a lot of air going into your stomach with the bubbles.
And she held it straight.
Like, I just don't understand.
She had big air gaps in between as it was going down, cool.
Like, she could hawk peanut butter on her throat. That was crazy.
Exactly. No thanks.
Y'all too cheap to get me my Coca-Cola.
Did she drink? My question is, did she drink all three of them like that, back to back?
Oh, Lord.
It was like in between takes, I guess. And like, well, she's going to do another take.
Go. Why they had no fans or she would be so hot? She would need to gurgle that daggone Coca-Cola.
It was crazy.
I loved her. She was fantastic.
I wonder how many takes that took.
That's what I, and if they would give her the bottle at some point, it's like, okay, y'all, I ain't doing this whole bottle. Make sure only a little bit left.
I can't do it. I can't keep doing this.
So, in talking about the performances, I have to say, obviously, T didn't do this. I don't know about anybody else. Obviously, not T. I pictured it on stage, right? So, knowing that Rock is Charles Dutton was Levy. He was Levy back in the original stage production, but also when it was a revival in 2003. He played them both times. And I keep picturing Charles Dutton be Levy, and I'm like, I would like to see this. And I didn't realize the dude who played his dad was, who are you talking about? Cutler. Yes.
Soldrat.
And I was like, that's a dude who played his dad in Rock!
What?
I see. I would like to see that. Here's my thing about plays. I don't like them, but if I know they're good, I'll enjoy them. You know what I'm saying?
No.
I see too many bad ones. I'm sorry. I can't trust it.
Like ones that are at schools? Like, I don't understand how you've seen too many bad ones. No, the one
about Martin, by Marvin Gaye's life was friggin' horrible.
I mean, I've seen bad plays, I do hate, a bad play is not a good time, so I understand that, but...
This just puts so much in perspective. Had I done this with my life, would you have come to my show?
I went to see your brother do 12th Night or whatever the hell. I was like, make it end. Anyway. He was great.
He was. Him specifically.
Anyway.
That is funny. Also Luther from T would have known this, but from Set It Off, Luther from Set It Off was also in the revival, and he was Toledo. What's his name in real life? Thomas Bird Jefferson. Do you still not know who that is? He passed away recently. Never mind. He's in a lot of Spike Lee. He's in a lot of Spike Lee movies.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah. But everyone I think of, I know you didn't see. So I'm like, every movie keep popping in my head. I'm like, you ain't see that. So never mind.
I ain't seen none of it.
So we ain't gonna talk about just the ones I put down, obviously. I just kind of wanted to remember for myself. But what were some of any other that we haven't already talked about standout moments to you? Like, or made you, if you loved Toledo or loved Levy or Ma or whatever, what was a standout like scene to you that you enjoyed?
Sylvester.
Go ahead, Sylvester.
Honestly, Sylvester, when he first started stuttering, and Levy was like, aha, he can't do this. He was like, what's it to you? I'm going to do what need to be done. Mind your business.
I did like him going off. He stood up. I did enjoy that.
I may have a stutter, but I will not be talked down to.
On Sylvester, I liked it when he did get it. How she was ready, and the rest were like, oh,
catch up. Wait, he got it?
What I really want to know is when old boy messed up the recording, why didn't she just go bust him upside his head?
I would have clocked him with that empty Coca-Cola bottle.
Like, were you not ready this whole time then? Because why y'all blaming Levy for unplugging the mic by accident or tripping over it?
Which,
right. How many takes was it?
All these just fails the whole time anyway?
See, I don't think it was ever plugged in. You saw how that plug was frayed. He never plugged that thing in. He brought down a bad mic.
He just pulled the thing over. He
wasted all this time.
I would have busted him upside the head. And I would have left.
Oh, Lord.
Ooh.
Mm-mm.
You ain't getting none of these songs.
Right. No others. So I enjoyed, go ahead.
I would say anytime Ma was telling the white people off. I got a special kick.
I just like it was poignant. When Levy was telling his story about his mother, and when he pulled the knife out on Cutler and was having his argument not with Cutler but with God.
Yeah, I agree. Even Cutler looking at him like, this is no longer with me. Okay. Sorry.
That's the thing I thought was interesting with Cutler, that he didn't want to fight for nothing, but as soon as he said something about God, he was ready to fight. And it just had me sitting there thinking about, like, black people's fascination with this God that white people made us worship. You know what I'm saying? Like, but you don't see the power in that is from them?
Or...
Are you mad at him for not believing in it?
You're completely not seeing what he's saying? I think that was the part. Exactly. That's the part that stuns me.
Yeah, it's okay. Like, you're missing...
Right.
That?
I understand... defending and being like, that's blasphemy. I do understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's telling you why he's saying the thing that he said.
Exactly.
And exactly. You're not hearing it at all, and you have a point. You didn't have any fight in you about anything except for this, which is common, though. I think a lot of people would have started fighting on that. I think a lot of people would have turned this movie off on this scene as if it was really Chadwick singing himself. Right. You know what I mean? I think that's how much a lot of people take it seriously. But what I don't understand and never will is not hearing his point. You can disagree with him, but you really don't hear what he's trying to say?
It said a lot about Cutler, in my opinion. Like, why do you feel like your stance on this is more important than his? Why? Just because he's young? Just because he said what he said? Like, what is it? Why couldn't you hear him out on this?
Right.
No matter what he did earlier today, he's telling you about what happened to his mother and what his father did. How come you're not...
But by the time he explained that part, Cutler wasn't really fighting him nowhere. You know what I mean? But
no, I'm just saying, like, I would apologize.
I mean, that's another thing with them is that none of them, except for stepping on his shoe, none of them found it in them to offer him an apology for anything. Man, I'm sorry that happened to your mother. Man, I'm sorry your father was burnt alive. None of them found, you know, because they thought he was beneath them.
I was fascinated how they all kind of looked at each other. I'm sure they all have had some kind of similar story, whether it was their father or just a neighbor or someone in their lives. They've all experienced something. Living in that time, I find it hard to believe that they haven't heard this before, right? Mm-hmm. So you know how hurtful and how hard it is, especially because he was a child who was cut and almost died. You heard this whole painful story and they were like, so you're gonna record?
I know, right? You know, but that's something that I've seen in the male persuasion. I don't want to say men. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's something I've seen with them, where like they don't like to get too bogged down with their feelings. And I'm generalizing, of course. They don't like to get too bogged down with their feelings. And he says some real shit, and he's emotional, so I'm as well let him stew in that and not even say, hey, sorry you dealt with that.
Like, do you need an ear? Yeah. Do you need somebody to, you know, do you want to go take a walk to get this out? I mean, he's still hanging on that emotion.
And I don't think they thought he was beneath them. I think they just didn't care. I don't think they cared about each other. I think it was like, this is a job. Like,
well, I thought they did till the end. I mean, I'm going to say it, but it don't matter if we go in order. Who cares? We're talking about the whole movie. But I thought they did care about each other, at least the three of them. Until the end, when he stabs Toledo, and they looked like, oh, that wasn't cool.
Right.
They didn't. Are y'all going to stand there?
You got time to save Toledo. What are you doing?
Exactly.
The only person who had an emotional reaction to Toledo dying was Levy. Because he was what did I just do? That was not part of my plan. You know, he was the only one who had a reaction. Like he didn't even know what was happening. Like, he stepped out of himself and stabbed Toledo.
Real quick on that. So he had just right before talked to Sturdivant about recording his songs. Mm-hmm. Can I ask, did anyone else think that he was about to stab Sturdivant?
No, I didn't think he was about to, but I do want to tell you, wish he did. How about that? I wish he did. You're going to jail anyway. You're probably going to die anyway. Go stab the motherfucker that played you.
Right. You might as well get the right one.
What happened?
Shell said you're going to jail anyway, so you might as well get the right. You might as well get the one who did this. Because I did, for a split second, I was like, oh my gosh, he's about to get this white dude. And then he walked away, and I'm like,
He left that all pent up.
But it was like the anger at the white dude. You just took it out on this guy. Mm-hmm.
I did think he was going to stab Sturdivant because he kept talking about how he knew how to deal with the white man. This is your town. He better get dealt with. And he didn't.
Because he stopped him over and over. Like, no, Sturdivant. No, Miss Sturdivant. No, but... So I thought it was about to be, no, I'm sorry.
Right.
And then...
I wish he did. I felt so... Like I said, if he was going... If you doing something that's going to get you caught up anyway, get the one... I mean, this dude went on and made money off of him. When he first handed over his songs, I was like, don't do it. It wasn't don't stab anybody. It was like, don't give him your music. Don't give him the rights to you.
Right. Just to, at the end, the Five Horsemen was singing the song. That's what it made me think of. Or maybe think of, oh, in Dreamgirls too, when that happened, when they had the white group sing it. It just, that type of stuff just angers me so much. The other standard that I thought of too, I liked when the scene where she fires him, just because she's like laughing. What was that you was doing? You need to play the song right, okay? I was like, if she was straight playing this dude, like, you about to get fired. I'm giving you your shot. Get your boy, y'all, get your boy. And then she just fired him. And he went and had that fight with that door because he was determined to get through that doggone door that was driving him up the wall. This door wasn't here before.
This is something I hate about plays and even certain types of books and stuff. What was that a metaphor for? Okay. I just say okay, like I didn't believe you. I never get.
Plus, no air and the need for air, the need to breathe.
Right. And I saw it as kind of similar. I saw it as you're doing all this fighting and it led to nowhere. Right. Like you're fighting against something, and for what? Because it just led you to nowhere. Because he looked like, oh,
right.
This really went nowhere. Oh, the doggone door. But any other moments or scenes? I know we didn't talk about Dusty May much.
What is there to talk about?
We don't need to.
Okay, good. I didn't want to talk about her. I didn't know if y'all did.
I didn't care. I mean, because I couldn't tell if she was using Ma or what was she doing? Somewhere, girl.
She was using Ma. She's using Megan.
Somewhere. Sit down. Even Sylvester was like, could you go away? Like, I didn't know if he was uncomfortable because of their relationship. I think he just didn't trust Dusty May. Because look how she tried to throw him under the bus with the car accident earlier. Go away.
Why do you keep standing in front of this microphone shaking your tail? Go on somewhere, girl.
Oh, Dusty self.
Dusty May.
She looked upset when Levy got fired too. Like, what were you? Go follow him then.
Like, you out here with Ma. Like, what are you gonna do? Can I just say though, Chadwick was so like creepy when he was like hitting on her. It was awful. He was. Bad times.
That's because you're used to T'Challa being like shy around Nakia. That's why.
This is just how they be.
This is what I'm unfortunately used to seeing.
I watch movies to get away from it.
So I just put down a couple of quotes just because I only put this first one just because he kept saying it. And it made me like, a one, a two, a you know what to do.
You have to do this every time. I don't know what to do, Cutler. Why don't you tell me?
Play. That's what you do.
And when he mentioned to her that one of the songs was a Bessie Smith song, she went, a Bessie what? I also like, and the next two actually are my ones just because I liked how meaningful they were. So she was talking also to Cutler. She's talking about the blues. And she's like, they hear it come out, but they don't know how it got there. And I like that because I feel like that's even true today. You enjoy the art, you enjoy the music, you enjoy the films or whatever created, but you don't think about what is behind it, what the message is behind it. You don't know the pain that went into what was written or created. I thought that was a very good line. And then I also loved when they tried to play her and Sylvester on the money, and they came out like, oh, it was a mistake. See, it was just a mistake. And she was like, the only mistake was when you found out that I hadn't signed the release forms. Deuces! Oh, she was a boss. I'm sorry.
She was.
She was what an amazing character. I have to ask, did any of you see the little special? The Netflix special?
Mm-hmm. I did.
That accompanied it too?
Mm-mm. I didn't get to watch it. I put it in my queue, but I didn't watch it.
So good. What were your thoughts, Shell?
Well, some of it I wish they would go into more detail as a documentary, not even necessarily on Ma Rainey. Like, I like the stuff that they said about race records. I wanted to learn more about that, you know, because I tend to believe that in a way it still exists. you know,
in a way.
So
right,
and I liked learning that you know, Chadwick learned to play the trumpet.
yeah
This was difficult for me to watch because I just kind of thinking about
what we lost.
I have to say, I felt the same. I'm like, wow, like you just pause it after some of the bigger scenes, where he's like the one where he talked about his parents, or the one where he's like, God cut your heart out. After he has like these big moments, you're like, wow, what a talent. But the special was really good. I mean, it's like 30 minutes, but they talk a lot about the music, and Branford Marsalis is talking about like how important the blues is, and it's about the Great Migration, and just how, and Denzel, because obviously we didn't talk about that, him being one of the producers, talking about how important it is to remember our history. And I love a line he said, the times have changed, but the pain hasn't necessarily. Right. So I thought that was also really good.
One of the things, when they were talking about the Great Migration, it kind of put together this scene. It really didn't matter much, but it was something that stood out to me, is that when they're coming into Chicago, they're well-dressed. They own their own instruments. You know, Ma is staying in this real ritzy hotel with all of these well-to-do...
The Drake!
With all of these well-to-do black people, right? They get into their nice, fancy car, but where their destination is all... Well-to-do black people. Where their destination is working-class white people. You know, it really showed, you know, and I like that how they pointed out, you know, the Great Migration wasn't all, you know, happiness for black people, but it also brought together a lot of possibilities. And it showed that some black people lived those possibilities when they got to Chicago, and some white people weren't living those possibilities.
Right. Right. I agree. Oh. And I have to agree that it made me like, oh, where are we going more into this? You know, like, I don't want to just touch on it a little bit. Oh my gosh, I want to uncover some more, you know, of these layers of what they were getting into. It felt like just an introduction, that 30-minute special. Because when Coleman, in a part that he talks about how she wasn't the aesthetic, Ma Rainey wasn't the aesthetic that you would, you know, generally put out there. And he was saying, even today, we continue to do it. He said, we're swinging the narrative to make it more palatable or more marketable. Mm-hmm. And just saying how, and we're still, it's still a thing. Even when you have somebody as powerful and as much of a boss as Ma Rainey really was, almost 100 years ago, how powerful she was. But because she wasn't the aesthetic you wanted, you wanted to change that and put somebody else to the forefront. Yes, it still happens to
right. Them, it's still, yeah.
Look at Hollywood.
I mean, but look at the way Hollywood is, the way some black industry. I mean, we owned some of the industries, you know, that, you know, we could have not folded to some of the, you know, to white people. We could have not sold our businesses to white people. We could have, you know,
but it just burned them down though.
That, or I think there really was in retrospect, there, I remember reading a book, I want to say it was Bell Hooks, I think, about like how segregation like kind of set us back. I mean, sorry, integration.
Yeah.
Set us back. And first, if you don't really think that hard about it, first thought is, what do you mean? Why would we not want to live in harmony? Well, because it hasn't been harmonious. Right. That's why. And we were successful in having all black people in a hotel in 1927.
Right. Then it goes back like to Ruben Santiago. Remember Lackawanna Blues? Mm-hmm. And that was at a time in Buffalo or upstate New York where black people owned their own businesses, owned their own neighborhoods, and then white people wanted a piece of it. But when they got a piece of it, they destroyed it. You know, they you know. Mm-hmm. And so you can't help but wonder, yay, desegregation and integration and all of that. But we lost something. I'm not saying that there shouldn't have been some kind of integration, but we should. We shouldn't have lost what was ours.
Right.
You know,
right. And I don't even think it was a bad decision on the part of people who maybe selling their businesses, they thought it was good in the moment, or teachers who took better jobs in integrated schools. They're thinking they're doing the right mm-hmm. thing. Who knew we would still be the poop on the bottom of everybody's shoes still? And
who knew that white people would... I mean,
you're making a face, T, but when you were a kid, you didn't know either. So I can just imagine that living in the 20s, we would have believed that there was hope. That there, laws are changing. They're including
us. Right.
I can just imagine being in that position of thinking that, okay, the law is on our side. Hello. Things have to get better because the law actually changed.
Right.
Not knowing there were other laws that didn't change that are going to keep you under a certain level. It sucks
because it was 1927 and it's 2021 and we're still climbing. Every time we get up a rung, we get knocked down three.
Because so many people are reaching for something that don't exist, right, or something they can't attain. We not gonna be white. Let it go.
Goal was to be white, but we don't.
I'm talking about right now. Right now. Most of the people who have money and status or whatever, they're reaching for whiteness. They're still worried about the white gaze and being present among white people and having as much money as their white counterpart. Mm. Why? Why can't you just exist and have what you have and be who you are?
I think you should exist to have more than whites.
Right.
Think about it. There used to be a black film industry. And now there's a handful of black directors. But there was a whole industry for us. There used to be a Negro League. But, there used to be so much that was with black people, and in some cases black people included other people of color, or white people didn't include blacks and people of color, but white people would see that money that was being made and they wanted to be a part of it, but they always found a way to make it find a way to push black people. How do you push black people out of what they created?
Right.
Evil.
Well, this could be a longer discussion for sure. Well, I'm gonna ask you all what makes this film significant and memorable to you. I'm gonna start with Minty Pooh again.
I think the performances and how it's shot. I think probably a little bit more how it was shot, because it did very much feel like a play. When I was watching it, I came out to Leona and was like, oh, I had to look up if it was a play because it reminded me of a play. I would say that between... say in A Raisin in the Sun, where it was filmed, but everybody was acting big like it was a play, and Birdman, where it was a movie, but it was about a play, but everything was movie acting. This is very much in the middle, and I appreciated that.
I take that. Shall?
Well, yeah, obviously I appreciated the filmmaking and the acting, but I just really appreciated the history and just the honest depiction of it. It wasn't like watching a Ma Rainey that would have been made in the 80s wouldn't have had the same vibe. You know, maybe the play would have, but a movie wouldn't have had the same vibe because they would have been trying to get a crossover and not even realizing that, you know, trying to get a white audience, not even realizing they probably would have got a white audience regardless, because white people have such a fascination with old blues music. But they would have did something to try to make, middle America comfortable.
I just pictured it. I just pictured scenes that would have been watered down.
They obviously wouldn't have touched on Dussie May. Dussie May would have been more of a close friend.
Right.
You know, so I like that. And I think they would have, I think it being made now, back then and probably now, I would imagine that white folks didn't want to hear the truth about what white people did to black people. So Levy's story would have been a hard story for, you know, I believe that the producers wouldn't have wanted to tell, because they didn't, right. because they wouldn't have wanted to offend the audience. But it's a story that the audience needs to hear, because it happened, that type of stuff happened, that type of stuff is happening, and they need to know the truth. You know, it's time for America to know the truth about the history. It's past right. time, actually.
It is indeed. T?
You said what makes it
significant and memorable?
I think the cast, especially the black cast, that is August Wilson, that is Ruben Santiago Hudson, that is George C. Wolfe, that Denzel had his hand in it. I think all of that makes it extremely significant. Not that it couldn't have happened without them, but like, this was meant to be great because all those hands were in it. Those are great hands to have in something like this. The performances were amazing. I think it'll be something for me that's very significant because of Chadwick. And I can't say this enough. The fact that people are going to be mad. The fact that there wasn't no light skins in it. I mean,
who's going to be mad?
People who light skin, who get mad about stuff like that. I love that it was dark. Like, there was dark skin people. Like, they didn't make they didn't get a light skin actress to do it. That they stayed true to what, you know, what she was about. I just think it was significant. Like Shell said, the history of it. It was great.
excuse me. I agree. I agree with all those points. Definitely, absolutely the history. I remember when I saw Fences, I remember that was another movie that when I watched it, I'm like picturing people in our family when they were younger, like, what was life like during this, you know? And so seeing this too, like, I'm loving seeing some of these pieces set in the past that are also made by us and are not just telling I guess the sad history, but just making these real people who are just talking about their real lives. And I like to make music. Yes, I've had a traumatic past thing, but I still like to make music. I still like to get the ladies. I'm just still an everyday person, and I love that about, I guess, the play itself, but also love that the movie felt like a really good play, but felt like a really good movie. The fact that it accomplished this, to me, Fences did as well, but I just feel like accomplishing this, I'm not that big on movies that don't have a whole lot of changes. And it's like staying in one day, for the most part, one location. And it didn't feel claustrophobic to me. It just felt like a really good time, a good time. And I also did love seeing this darker skinned woman who, you know, was not supposed to be like the most attractive person. And I love that. Yeah, she was glistening like a mug and was like, but y'all out here coming and hear my music, you gonna enjoy it. And we did. I loved every single thing about it. I couldn't tell how it feel with another watch. I would like to go watch it again at this moment. Like, I just enjoyed it so much.
It was very good. And it wasn't like slow paced. I felt like Hidden Fences had some slow parts. Still good.
Hidden Fences.
I'm that guy. I feel like Fences had some slow parts to it. And maybe that was stuff they added, or I don't know, because it was another play to a movie. But this felt like, I don't know, but I think how Mint had talked about, like, I think it was Mint, like, just the fact that they were able to shoot it like a play, but it was still like a movie, and it wasn't grandiose, and like you said, it didn't feel claustrophobic, it didn't feel rushed, it didn't feel slow. Everything made, people leaving the scene, people exiting stage left, it made sense. It wasn't like, oh, they're leaving because it was a stage. Right.
The lights went down.
It was like, oh, this made sense. Right. This made sense. Even when, like, Toledo's, like, talking and it looks like he's talking, like, to the audience somewhere, it didn't feel like I'm talking to you. It didn't feel like he was breaking the fourth right. wall. It felt like, it felt natural. Like, I'm telling this story and I'm lost in the story, so I forget you guys are right. there.
Really had some good ass acting.
It really did.
Oh my god!
I actually forgot to laugh about Levy losing it on all of them, like flipping out on all of them downstairs, and they went right back to recording. Like, so, what's the next song on the list?
And a one, a two.
You know what to do.
I
even he went back. You know, even he was like, it never happened.
He just ran away. I'm a professional, okay? Oh, so good. We need more of these. It's only got me just really anticipating the rest of the slate of films, because you know it's going to be more August Wilson plays made into movies. So I'm just excited for the rest. And awards, you know, great for the nominations. I feel like I don't care about awards anymore.
I mean, they'd be a let. But we'll see how awards are let down usually anyway.
They really are. They really are. We'll see how it goes. Any other thoughts?
No.
Okay. Shell, you want to tell the folks where they can find us?
You can listen and subscribe to Fandom City Podcast on Apple Music, Spotify, Stitcher, Audible, and Amazon Music. FandomCity.Simplecast.com and wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Check out our website, FandomCity.com. Check us out on Tumblr and Instagram. Both are at Fandom City Mayor. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Fandom City Mayor.
I'm at Alderman Leona X.
I am at City Sheriff.
And I don't even know what Twitter is.
As always, support your local library. Black Lives Matter. Stop attacking Asian people.
Yeah, seriously.
Do something about your anger. Go do something with yourself.
Do something about your oppressor role.
Do something about your oppressor exactly. role. You know, get out the past.
Dismantle white supremacy.
And keep your mask on. Stay home. Just because the numbers are going down don't mean it's all good.
Yeah, for real. Really.
Seriously.
And keep learning more of this wonderful Black History Month.
Yes.
Yes.
And thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining us.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.